Welcome everybody back to Fire Talk. Today we're recording on Sunday. We recorded last Sunday after a series victory against the Dodgers. This time around, we're coming back after a series win and then a series loss to the Blue Jays after that. Padres are sitting at 12 and 12 right now, 500. We got Isaac on camera on the mic. Chase is in his car right now. He's gonna hop in on audio, but just audio right now. But yeah, we wanted to kind of just go over some stuff, what's going on. I already see some comments about third base, about, you know, bringing in the DH, stuff like that, stuff about Paulie, stuff about Wade, Brandon Belt, all that kind of stuff. So we'll end up getting that into that a little bit. But looking at this series, I'll be honest, I didn't watch Friday, Saturday. I was working. I didn't get a chance to watch those games. Today, I watched the game. So, hey, good for me. I get to watch the one win of the weekend. Last week, you see the Padres have a really good series against the Brewers. And then the Wednesday game against the Brewers was kind of, it was good, but it was just like, you know, you had a good pitching performance by Michael King, and then the offense just failed over and over again. But overall, that's still a series win against a good team. We were kind of looking at that one, you know, it's a road series against the Brewers, taking 2 out of 3 is big there. And then you come back and you end up losing the first two games against the Blue Jays. On Friday, we saw Matt Waldron pitch. He didn't look very good. We've been concerned about Matt Waldron, but I mean, honestly, like where he's at right now, he's at like a 5 ERA. What is this, 4 games into the season, and he's kind of only really got rocked once. I don't think it's the worst start, but I'm afraid that it's kind of a sign for things to come. And then we saw Randy Vasquez come in on Saturday. And honestly, you guys were texting about it. You said he looked pretty good. Joe Musgrove comes out today, and Joe Musgrove ends up looking pretty good here. So, Isaac, what are you thinking, man? What do you think about this series? Also, we're getting some feedback in someone's mic. Is that you?
I'm muted, so.
Well, Chase unmuted for a second, but now Chase muted himself again. Now it's gone. Chase, I don't know what happened. It ended up coming on. It sounded like you're eating chips right there. But Isaac, what do you think about this series, man? What do you think about Randy Vasquez and kind of just overall where this team's at right now, sitting at 12-12?
Obviously last week after beating the Dodgers and then going on to beat the Brewers. Brewers obviously this week, but I thought it was like a really good start to that week. You go 4-2 on the road trip. You take 2 of 3 from the Dodgers. You put up a good amount of runs against them. You take 2 of 3 from the Brewers, put up a good amount of runs against them. And then you lose 3 in a row. So I'm not going to take away from the 4-2 road trip, but losing 3 in a row kind of stings in the matter of, like, you know, you could have had that game against the, you could have had that game against the Brewers where you lost 1-0. You left quite a few guys on base. Michael King was thrown a no-hitter for like 7 2/3. That was a very winnable game. That's a game that the Padres can't afford to lose. That wasn't even a matter of, oh, the Brewers were just pitching lights out. That was a bullpen game. I didn't think they pitched that good. Guys were getting on. We just weren't getting them in. This series against the Blue Jays, obviously Waldron did not have a good start. Like Matt said, we've been concerned about Waldron for a minute now. Had a really good start against the Dodgers, luckily, but didn't have a good start. His best stuff against the Blue Jays. And you kind of got to wonder how much of a leash there is on Matt Waldron, because first start against the Cardinals, he looked okay. And that's the thing, is like out of a number 5, you just want decent starts. And I guess he's given you that, but it feels like there's potential for more with Johnny Brito, with Randy Vasquez, and I'll get to Randy Vasquez right now. Randy Vasquez only allowed like 1 earned run, maybe 2. I thought Randy Vasquez looked okay. If Grand Pauly doesn't make the error in the first inning, he gets out of that inning clean, no runs allowed. So he went, I believe, 5 or 6 innings, and I thought he looked all right. So I was happy with the outing that Randy Vasquez gave. And I was really happy with the innings that Johnny Brito provided after Randy Vasquez. So out of those two, I thought they pitched really well. I know they lost that game, but defensively, it was not a very clean game where Grand Pauly made an error in the first, and then Jose Alzucar, I don't know if he lost the ball or if he just tripped over himself, but he didn't make a catch in the outfield that also led to a run. So, when you take things into context, like if you just look at the score of that game, it may seem like Vasquez didn't pitch very well, but when you actually watch and take into account, like Grand Pauly didn't get him out of the first, Jose Alzucar made an error, or it's not going to go down as an error, but he had a miscue in the outfield that led to either a double or a triple, and that run ended up scoring. So it was kind of a few things that didn't go Vasquez's way.
But I thought he pitched well. Same thing with Brito. Brito had a much better outing than he's had in the past. And then you go to today's game. Joe Musgrove goes 7 innings, allows 3 earned, a quality start, 2 quality starts in a row, I believe it is, for Joe Musgrove. And yet it still feels like there's room for improvement from him. And maybe that's a lot of expectation or coming to Joe Musgrove. But I still think he has some in the tank to be able to, you know, provide some more, provide those outings where he goes 6 innings, allows 1 run, 2 runs max. But today he looked all right. I thought he looked pretty good, actually. Really just 2 solo shots. And then I think it was a sack fly. I forgot how that. Oh, it was a ground ball to Ha-Seong Kim that a runner scored on. He got out of that inning after getting 2 runners on 2nd and 3rd, 1 out. The ball girl was the MVP of the game, by the way. I don't know if you saw that, but the ball girl interfered with the play and it ended up being a double. Whereas if it did, if she didn't like catch that ball, that run probably ends up scoring and the other guy might be at third. Run ended up scoring anyway, of course, but that was awesome. Other than that, I don't really have anything else. I mean, I know I mostly talked about the defense and the pitching. Bullpen, I thought looked pretty solid again. Bullpen's really starting to come around. Peralta, Suarez went up there, threw 9 fastballs, got 3 outs. Bullpen's really starting to come around right now.
100%. I mean, like you said, if it wasn't for a few defensive miscues, Randy Vasquez is gonna have a really fine start. One of my biggest pet peeves in baseball, and it maybe because I was a pitcher growing up, I hate that miscues by the outfielders don't count as errors. I get you can lose it in the sun, but like there was one, it was that line drive to Tatis and he misplayed it. It bounced in front of him. He didn't get in front of it and it went to the wall for a triple. I'm like, okay, that should be an error. You misplayed the ball. You messed up. That is an error. Like the same thing with Azucar. If he lost it, whatever, it's still an error. It shouldn't count as an earned run on the pitcher because it should have either stayed as a single in Fernando's case, or it should have been an out. If an infielder misses a fly ball, it's for the most part counted as an error. But let it happen to an outfielder, it's just a single plus a base, like extra bases. Mm-hmm. No, it's an error. Let's count it what it is. And it's one of my biggest pet peeves about baseball. Anyway, outside of that, you know, outside of the first 2 games where I didn't really get to watch them, I just keep seeing the notifications on my phone. The Blue Jays hit a home run. The Blue Jays have scored. The Blue Jays have scored. The Blue Jays have scored. The Padres lead 5-1. I'm like, cool. Padres are getting rocked again. Go to work next day. Padres got rocked again. Cool. It was nice to see for once while at work that the Padres were winning because, you know, being in Arizona, they don't have any channels for that. So I just have to rely on the notifications on my phone and whatever you guys tell me for, like, hey, Vasquez actually pitched really good today. It was defensive miscues. Yeah, you know what? Our third base options are not great. Still rather stick with Graham Pauly, even though he kind of messed up with the glove. But still think he's better than what we could get out of Tyler Wade. We've seen what Tyler Wade has been for, you know, the past couple of years bouncing around different teams. I think the ceiling with Graham Pauly is the best option to go to. But you know what sounds really, really good? If we sign Brandon Belt, we need a lefty power bat. And oh my God, having Machado at third eventually, and then having Brandon Belt as a DH with Graham Pauly being a depth infielder, that sounds a lot better than Graham Pauly and Tyler Wade with Machado at DH. I don't know about you guys. I think if we sign Brandon Belt, then hey, maybe we win one of those extra games.
Dude, I'm with you, man. And Chase, also another thing with that too is, okay, so we got it up here. Hate to get too far ahead, but if Manny comes back to third base, we're gonna have to find trade for a legit DH. And then you come back and you tell me no Brandon, no Pham or Belt. I mean, Pham already got signed, so we weren't really that high on getting Pham necessarily. But Eggy Rosario's hit really good. Is it against left? Yeah, he hits really good against lefty.
Yeah, it's fucking ridiculous how well he hits left-handed people. I remember the stat. It was a 273 WRC plus against left-handed pitching, and then like a 3. That's not me misreading it. He legit hits 3 WRC plus against right-handed pitching.
So with that said, Graham Pauly, I see people being like, hey, maybe he's not ready. Maybe he's not ready. I'm going to be honest. I don't feel like he's ready. Like, he's had some miscues. He hasn't really looked that great fielding-wise at third base. Chase, I know that you've been advocating for him getting more reps. And I'm not saying that he shouldn't get more reps than Tyler Wade, but I think that when you have Machado come back to third, if you have Agee and Belt platooning, that's a lot better. And then you can also have both of those guys as depth infielders. Belt can go to first. You can bounce some guys around, or Agee can come in. So, like, instead of having where you, when you have like Hagee and all these guys in the lineup and the bottom of the order looks really bad, instead of doing that, you can have, you know, let's say it's a lefty pitcher. You can instead do, okay, we're going to have Belt play first today. We're going to have, which maybe not the best case scenario, but when you have like that rest day kind of, like usually like once every like week or two, you can have Rosario and Belt in the lineup playing in the field. And I think that's a little bit better. But I don't know, man. I really hope they still do it. I think it makes the team that much better because, like you said, you brought up that those ridiculous numbers. That's a small sample size for Rosario, but that's also what he projects to be. It's not like he's a righty that has consistently hit well against lefties. So that's good for him. Belt was like a top 20 player in terms of numbers last year against right-handed pitching. I don't understand why you don't do it. I really don't get it. And I think it ends up adding some wins. I think obviously having Machado playing third base, having Bogarts get more acclimated to second base, that's also going to help in terms of defense on the infield. So I don't know. I think that makes a ton of sense. I really hope they do it. It doesn't feel like they're going to, which really sucks, but that is the best thing you can do for this team. I also think you brought this up, Isaac, a little bit, talking about Matt Waldron. Like, you know, what's like the leash with Matt Waldron? I think it's really interesting because Brito's looked good since the first two outings. And I tweeted this out. I think he had two outings since then. But basically, he allowed almost all of his runs in those first two outings. And since then, he's put up pretty good numbers. His strikeout numbers aren't crazy, but he's done good. He's came in long relief. He's came in to pitch an inning at times. And for the most part, he's looked pretty good. He lost the game against the Giants. And I don't remember if I don't think that was his second outing of the year. I think that was later on. I think that was the other game where he allowed runs. And I think he's allowed runs in three of his outings this year. It wasn't a lot of hard contact. If you guys remember, like, they lost that game. He comes in and they choked the game, but it was mostly, I mean, that game they lost because of the offense, but it wasn't hard contact. He wasn't looking that bad. Right. So I think on that end, I feel like he's looked pretty good. If Vasquez has a couple good outings with Darvish out, it's going to be a question. You're going to look at it and go, okay, well, Darvish is back. Who's the fifth starter? And that's a good problem to have because the year started and you're like, okay, Matt Waldron's here. Brito looks bad. Vasquez is in AAA. And it's concerning. You have pitching depth. That's better. And I'll give props to Matt Waldron. I know he had a bad outing or whatever, but he's looked better than I thought he was going to look. I don't think he looks great, but I thought it was going to be like really bad when he came into the fifth spot. The knuckleball does look better. The first game looked really bad. Like, it looked like it was just like batting practice. He's got some guys fooled on that knuckleball. So I think that's pretty solid. But okay, as we loop around, I think this is a good question. It just popped up right now. Are you guys happy where we're at 24 games in? So I texted Chase and Isaac this, and we had a little chat about it we didn't get a chance to record this week, but so we recorded last Sunday. It was really good. Like, vibes are high. You know, you beat the Dodgers in that series. It was a good win. You get some, you know, you have the whole Profar thing and it's like exciting, right? Then you win the two games against the Brewers. You're sitting at 11 and 10. And I texted and I was like, look, as great as it is that we're above 500, we're playing pretty well. I feel like this team should be at like 14 wins. This is Thursday or Friday before this weekend series. You lose two of three. I don't really care about this Blue Jay series. I'll be honest with you guys. I don't think it's like an indicator in any regard. I think it's just like, oh yeah, you had your five and six pitchers in pitching in this series and you lost those two games. That's like, great. Okay, not a big surprise. However, 24 games in, you're 12 and 12. They should be better than 12 and 12. Is it bad that they're 12 and 12? Absolutely not. Have they played better than I thought they were going to? Yeah, the offense looks a whole lot better than I thought they were going to. The lineup looks complete. The bullpen started off super rocky, and we were like, oh no, we thought this bullpen was going to be good. Turns out, bullpen's pretty good. It's been really good since then. Starters, all right, but you have faith in the starting rotation. You're feeling a little bit of depth. Like, everything's like solid, but they should be better than 12 and 12. they've choked a lot of games. They've lost like three or four games already this year that they should have won. And I'm sorry, but I've watched too much Padres baseball to be like not thinking that that's an issue. So I'm happy how they've played 24 games in. I think the record should be better. I think they should have 14 or 15 wins right now. And that part concerns me. Because what happens when, sorry guys, this is going to be the case. Like, what happens when some of these guys slow down? What happens when Jerks and Profar, and he's already started to slow down a little bit, what happens when he doesn't hit as well? Now, you can play the other role and go, well, what happens when Manny starts heating up, when Xander starts heating up? Sure, you can definitely do that. But I am still concerned with that. So there's like pros and cons to it. I think they've looked better than I thought they were going to look. And I think how they've actually played on the field is better than I thought. But I wish the record was a little bit better, because I think that they've lost a couple games that they should have. So that's kind of my answer with that. But I think it's interesting because that's where we're at right now. It's 24 games in. They're sitting at 500. You have to be better than a 500 team if you're going to make the playoffs. So what are you guys feeling?
No, you're right. I mean, I'm looking at the games right now, and I see some winnable games. You lost a 3-2 game to the Giants. You lost another 3-2 game to the Giants. And this is in San Francisco. Particularly that second loss to the Giants was a tough one because there were some errors made where you ended up losing that game because of those errors that they led to runs. That 1-0 loss to the Brewers was a very winnable game. So that's three games that I already see that were very winnable games. And I don't even have to think of scenarios. There may be other scenarios in these losses where, hey, if this goes right, you know, they end up winning that game. But I mean, 24 games in, honestly, I'm not like ecstatic about where we are, but I'm pretty satisfied. I'm pretty happy. You look at the teams that we've played, it's like, other than the Cardinals and the Giants, you're playing nothing but above 500 teams, and the Giants and the Cardinals are supposed to be pretty competitive this year. So you're playing nothing but competitive teams up to this point. The Brewers were hot going into your series. You took two from them. The Dodgers were, I mean, they just cooled down, but they were hot going into your series. You took two from them. Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty happy with where the Padres are right now, considering some of their bats haven't even really gotten going yet. Fernando's like at a, and I know he's been pretty damn good. He has 6 home runs, but he's not at his 900 OPS yet. And I expect him to finish with an above 900 OPS. Manny's not heated up yet. Xander's been pretty horrendous for the most part. Ha-Seong Kim has been okay. I think he's going to heat up too. Yeah, Jerkson Profar might slow down, but you know, I think for those of you who don't know, the Padres signed Donovan Solano, and he got taken out in the 5th inning today. I think it was El Paso. I don't know what it was. Why? I don't know why he got taken out, but it's either because he's catching a flight to Colorado or he got injured. So hopefully it's the latter. So not the latter. Is that the word I'm looking for? I don't know. But hopefully it's the one where he's on a flight to Colorado. So, I mean, that way we don't have to see Tyler Wade anymore. And maybe Graham Pauly isn't ready and he gets to go get consistent at-bats down in AAA. But yeah, 24 games in, I'm happy. I like what I'm seeing. I mean, like I said, you're not getting a lot of production from some of your top guys right now. You are getting a lot of production from Jackson Merrill, Jerkson Profar. Fernando's giving you some really good games, some really clutch games too. Who else can I think of? Ha-Seong Kim hasn't been like a crazy defender so far this season. I think on Savant you'll see like his outs above average is still really high, but he's had some errors that cost the Padres. But I mean, overall, I expect him to be the platinum glove contender, gold glove contender by the end of the season still. Xander hasn't gotten hot. Jake is starting to cool down. So and we haven't even talked about the catcher position. Luis Camposano with like a 650 OPS and Higgy also. This is like having Austin Nola in your lineup. And I do think they're going to get better, though. So, I mean, where there's guys that are doing really well, there's guys that are struggling that I expect to get hot. Yu Darvish doesn't even have a win on the year yet. Matt Waldron doesn't have a win on the year. So it's like, do we really expect Yu Darvish to go winless the rest of the year? No, I think there's games that Yu Darvish should have won already. So, yeah, I'm pretty happy.
Yeah, I'm right there with Isaac. You know, as long as the Padres keep a pretty happy equilibrium with the bats going, like, hey, you know what, some of our best hitters aren't hitting right now, but, you know, some of the bottom of the lineup guys are picking up the slack and the other way around. As long as it's like that and where it's like, oh, cool, now everybody is slumping all at once, We can't have that. I'm pretty happy with where we're at. I mean, yeah, we could have won another three games, but realistically, when I was looking at the season, I was like, ugh. Yeah, we might not even be a 500 team. I mean, we have the talent to be so, but look how the guys played last year. The guys kept, were like, oh, you know, wait till we get hot, wait till we get high. I was like, cool. Are you guys ever going to actually try to fight and get hot? And it's one of those things where, hey, they won some games against winning teams, but they would basically roll over against almost every competition. And then they would have that one breakout game against a really crappy team. And they were like, oh, they're back. And then they really weren't back. They'd beat up on couple crappy teams and be like, wow, look at the bats. They look really good. They'd come into the Dodgers series and then they're like, oh, wow, they got shut out three games in a row. And yeah, their bats are back to being cold because they actually face some real competition. And we've played really damn good teams. I mean, we played the Dodgers. The Brewers are still really, really hot. Yep. The Blue Jays are a good team. The Giants are supposed to be competitive. The Cardinals are supposed to be competitive. Like, we have played nothing but either 500 or above 500 teams, which the latter are basically all trying to push for a playoff spot in the NL Central. So it's one of those things where, yeah, we should have a better record. And I'm more concerned with how the Padres are going to play against teams just like the Rockies.
Rockies, bro. Oh, God.
Yeah, that's my head right now. I'm like, cool. We played really well against some really good teams. How the hell are we going to play against the teams that suck? And that's one of those things where the Padres kind of ruin everything. They play really good against really good teams, and they play really shitty against the teams that they should beat up on. It's one of those things where, for some reason, the Padres always have to play to the level of their competition, and they take it as a break. Oh, you know, these guys aren't good. And then they get their ass handed to them by the Rockies. I'm sorry, but it happens every year.
Every year.
And it's one of those things. It's like, okay, cool. CJ Cron just hit three home runs against us. CJ Cron hasn't hit two home runs in the past week, and he hit three in one game against the Padres. Yeah. It's stuff like that where we're like, we don't take guys seriously, and it bites us in the ass.
Yeah, dude. And that, we remember, what was it? The no-hitter against, who was he doing? Was it Logan Gilbert on the Diamondbacks?
Oh, yeah, against the Diamondbacks, yeah.
That was in 21, I want to say, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They weren't good then. It wasn't the Diamondbacks from last year. It was when they were bad. It was
the fucking first start.
yeah, exactly. So it's like, that's the thing where it's like, oh, God. So, yeah, I think I love that you bring that up, because I was going to say, so the big thing is, all right, and I think you guys are right. Like, I think where they're at is good. I think where you're at, you look at the schedule and stuff like that. Okay, 12-12 is solid. I 100% agree with that. I'm not trying to come across negative either. It's just like, I'm just worried, like, okay, you kind of let some wins slip away. If they were, what is it, 15-9, we'd be feeling real good right now. And they could be 15-9. That's more of what I'm trying to get across. Now, you go into the Rockies series. What are you going to do? You don't have your, you're going to be throwing Waldron and Vasquez, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You're going to go and win 3-4. You're going to go have a 4-game sweep, or are you going to look kind of, that's where I think that we're going to find out about this team a lot more. But yeah, I feel like that's the case. Also, I mean, you brought up the catching position, Isaac. I don't think it's that bad. I mean, look, I get that. Campy's numbers aren't that great, but he's hitting like 280, like just under 280. I know everyone hates batting average now, but I think there's something fair to batting average.
Fine, yeah, fine.
Austin Nola was sporting a nice 100 for about the first 4 months of last year, so I think it's a little bit different, or less than that, but still, you know what I mean. So I don't know. Higgy's not great. Kim struggled. Kind of pulling up guys' numbers. I don't know if these are updated after today. Kim's hitting the 220s, kind of mid 700 OPS. I'm not too worried about that. I'm not really worried about Kim, to be honest. I'm not really worried about Machado. Machado will heat up a little bit. Fernando's in a little bit of a slump right now. Jackson Merrill is going off. He's probably going to slow down, and that's okay. You know, you have some decent platoon options. The only guy I'm really concerned about is Xander Bogaerts. Hey, he had a home run today. That's awesome. But he's not hitting the ball hard. He's hitting the ball less hard every year for the past like 3-4 years. And that's the part that's concerning. But that's kind of where I'm at with his team. Like, I still think they need to add a little bit. We're not in a spot where they're like oh, they're out of it or anything like that. They're a fun team to watch. The lineup feels way more complete than last year. Where is it? Devin had a comment up here that I thought was, here it is. There is definitely more resilience and fight in this team than last year for sure. They already have one more run one wins than last year, and it's April. Yeah. That's insane. And you feel it. Like, they lost on Saturday. They had a chance to tie the game, bottom of the eighth. They have two guys on. They're down by two runs. Iggy comes up. I want to say it was Iggy, right?
It was Iggy, yeah.
Yeah. He comes up and he ends up grounding out, but it's like, hey, you have an opportunity. Like, you're still knocking at the door. And I feel like a lot of times, like, you lose those games and it's like, ah, whatever. Like, they lost those games. We've already seen them steal a few of those games. So vice versa, when I talk about them kind of choking some games away, they have stolen some games as well. So you definitely feel a lot more of that. I don't know who it was, but someone commented earlier that Mike Schilt's been, like, cool because he just, like, goes to bat for his players. You saw him in Pro Far get thrown out. Maybe that's part of it, man. I hope so. Like, so, and that's a big thing heading into this Rockies series. You know, you always talk about playing down to your opponent, and the Padres have been susceptible for that the last, like, 4 or 5 years. So are they going to do that? Or is it going to be a little bit different mentality coming into it? And I certainly hope it is. And everything so far this year that we've seen from the team on the field has been that it's going to be a different story. So I think it's cool. Also, after the Rockies series, I got their schedule pulled up here. It gets tough. It gets real tough. And then it's going to die down. So after the Rockies, you got 4 games in Colorado. Then you got 3 games at home against the Phillies, 3 games at home against the Reds, 3 games on the road against the Diamondbacks, 3 games on the road against the Cubs. I'm going to that series. And then 3 games at home against the Dodgers. And then you end up playing the Rockies again. That is a rough schedule. But that's exciting. I want to see where they're at early on in the year. You know, like, it's a good test to start. Hopefully we get Darvish back early on into that. I think that's the thought process with this. But yeah, that's what I'm kind of thinking right now, man. It's like, you're going to find a lot out about this team in the next 3 or so weeks. In another month, we're going to be like, or 3 or 4 weeks, it's going to be like, okay, this is where this team is. Are they hanging in? Are they still around 500? Because if they're around 500 after that, then the schedule starts to lighten up a little bit. So that's what I'm excited for. We got some good baseball coming our way. We got some exciting parts about this team just to kind of learn how good they are. You know, are there actual big time changes? So we're going to see that early on in the year, instead of, like, you know, we're just kind of like, oh, I don't know. We're gonna see a lot of that. So I don't know. What do you think about that? What do you think about the Rockies and then that rough stretch?
I was just looking at that too. It is tough. I'm over these next 10 games, which consists of 4 against the Rockies, 3 against the Phillies, 3 against the Reds. I'm disappointed if they take 4 or less. I'm feeling okay if they take 5. If they take 6 or more, I'm happy. Which I feel like everyone probably feels the same way. Ideally, you take 7, you win all 3 series, you take 3 of 4 from the Rockies, and then you go and handle business against one of the Phillies or the Reds. If you take 3 or 4 from the Rockies and you win one of those series against the Reds or the Phillies, I'm feeling good. I'm feeling happy. Because, I mean, like you said, man, it's a tough schedule, and I feel like you got to beat up on a team like the Rockies. You got to take 3. Before that rough stretch comes up. I mean, yeah, you want Darvish back by then. You're hoping that you get more production from your bats. You're hoping Manny's back at third. There's a lot of things you're hoping for within the next few weeks. I mean, you're playing some tough teams. You got the Dodgers in there. You got the Braves in there. The Reds are okay. The Phillies are good, of course. Like, you got a rough stretch of teams in there. And I mean, if the Padres are going to come out, let me see, over these next... I don't want to calculate all of that, but over these next 10 games, I'm praying we win 6 or 7 games. That's all I want. And it might be tough without Darvish, but if you can get, this is where, you know, that Juan Soto trade comes in, right? You traded for pitching depth, just so, you know, if you, Darvish, Joe Musgrove, any of these guys get injured, you have good starters to go. This is where Randy Vasquez comes in. This is where Johnny Brito comes in. You're hoping to get good starts from all these guys and fill in for Yu Darvish in a way that really we haven't been able to do in the past. In the past, if Yu Darvish went down, or Joe Musgrove, even last year, right, it was rough. And last year, it was a matter of, like, Musgrove and Waka went down. A few years before, it was Darvish and Musgrove went down. So, yeah, I mean, now let's see what we got out of this Juan Soto trade. You're hoping to get some good quality starts from them, right? And I mean, shoot, again, 6 wins in these next 10, and I'll be really happy.
Speaking of trades, shout out CJ Abrams for being the monster that we all thought he was going to be. He's an absolute dog. And one of those trades where we're going to make kind of just wish Preller wasn't our GM so that we could actually enjoy CJ Abrams, because the guy's an absolute monster. And it'd be amazing to have him over X on the infield right now. Him and Merrill would be a nasty combination with two left-handed bats of the future. Anyway, but yeah, this is the time where the trades that you made this past offseason have to pay off. Yep. You're down Darvish, you have Brito, you have Vasquez. King has been pitching. He's good one game, kind of roughed up the next one. He just needs to get a little more consistent with it. And it's one of those things where you need these guys to perform. And if they perform and they do what they or what you traded them to be, then it's a little bit of a win. But if not, then you traded Juan Soto for a bag of chips, and then you traded all-star baseball players for Juan Soto. So it's going to be one of those things where, well, this is we're watching another Preller masterclass in action, basically. And whether or not this trade works out, I think is going to be kind of the final stepping stones of getting rid of Preller.
As it should be.
Dude, yeah, this, I mean, that those kind of combos, like, and we're already seeing it right now. Like, you brought up Darvish being down. Dude, Darvish is down. All right, so what does that mean? Oh, so that means that you have now in the rotation, you have Michael King. You don't have Brito, but you have Vasquez and Brito kind of piggyback, but kind of piggybacking. And you have Dylan Cease. But those are all parts of the Juan Soto trade. Also, little random side note, I saw some people talking about, like, you don't have Dylan Cease if you don't trade Juan Soto. Is that true? Is I don't think that's true. I like that people like to do that. It's like, no, you probably just have less of farm capital, right? Like, is that I don't get that. Like, it's not like they're gonna be like, you know, you're gonna send a similar arm over, but no, we're not gonna do that. Like, yeah, we traded Thor, but like, yeah,
can I be 100% completely honest? I'd rather have Juan Soto.
No, but you know what I mean? Like, I don't understand that argument when people make that, like, oh, it's like, well, it's like, yeah, but you're also trading like prospect capital. It's like, yeah, they might like that guy more, but like the deal could still get done. I've never understood that, especially in baseball more than any other sport, where it's like, well, yeah, but like it's the capital, you know, it's like you're sending different level guys and stuff. But yeah, either way, like this is kind of a prove it time for that trade, which is interesting because it started real quick. Good thing is it doesn't seem like Darvish's injury is too serious, knock on wood. But like, that's a good sign. We're going to need this pitching staff to stay healthy. It's kind of like, just like it's in all sports. Like, you got to still stay healthy. Like, the arms are going to need to be there, whether or not it's like pitching depth. When you talk about pitching depth, it's like, okay, when a guy goes down for a month, and I'm not saying he's going to be down for a month, but like, if a guy goes down for a month, can you hang in there? So we're going to see that right now. And I know you lost that game when Randy Vasquez started, but he did his part. I feel like he did his part enough. So that's the thing where you're going to start seeing that a little bit more. I've been excited that Brito's been looking better, because, dude, right at the start of the season, I was like, Michael King gets rocked. Oh, God. And then Brito's getting rocked. And then Vasquez in the minors. And you're like, oh, no. But it started to kind of flip a little bit, which is nice.
For sure. No, you're right. I mean, they're being thrusted into you know, pressure situations in a big spot early in the season when you're arguably your best starter goes down. I mean, probably Dylan Cease is probably your best starter, but your number one goes down. And, you know, going back to Randy Vasquez, I thought he looked good. I thought his breaking stuff looked good. I thought his fastball looked good. I thought everything looked all right. It wasn't like a super impressive start or anything, but he did his part. Like Matt said, he did his part. He did his thing. And going to Matt Waldron, I feel like Matt Waldron can be on the major league team, but I feel like Matt Waldron should be in the bullpen, whereas Johnny Brito should be getting starts. I feel like Matt Waldron should be the Nabil Chrismat of this 2024 team. And I say that because Nabil Chrismat did not have high velocity. He just had pretty nasty stuff. Matt Waldron does not have high velocity, but he has a knuckleball that's highly touted. He should go one inning, primarily against righties, and then he can probably use his knuckleball a good 40-50% of the time, rather than, you know, going up there throwing 91 mile per hour cheese balls. But that's just my preference. I'd rather see Brito go up there, a guy that you traded for. You traded the Ted Williams of our modern day for Johnny Brito, Michael King, Randy Vasquez. I'd like to see them all get starts at this point, rather than a guy that was really only made a start last year because like multiple guys got hurt. And this is no offense to Matt Waldron. He's doing okay. Not out of this world. I just think it's exactly like the Tyler Wade situation. I think there is more upside elsewhere. I think there's more upside with the young guy that you traded for who has made some really good starts in the past. He made really good starts with the Yankees in the past. And I think you got something good in Johnny Brito. I think you're kind of holding him back by keeping him in the bullpen. I didn't think he was going to be a bullpen arm. I didn't think he was ever going to be a bullpen arm. So it's time to thrust him into the situation where, hey, one of your guys went down, another guy's not. I mean, he's keeping you in ball games to a certain extent, but he's not pitching other world, like out of this world. And there's a guy that has pitched some really good games in the past for one of the biggest markets in all of baseball. That's a guy that I want to see on the mound for sure. Other than that, man, I mean, I really have nothing else to say. It was a weird week, I would say, where you took two out of three from the Brewers, and then you got one game out of that Blue Jay series. I mean, that Brewers series was a very sweepable series. You should have swept that series. other than that, though, I really have nothing else to say. You look at it position by position. Catcher, you're probably – I mean – you brought up the 280 average for Campy, and that's absolutely correct. I'm just more so for me, I just want more power from him because I know he can hit for more power. I've seen him smoke baseballs before, and I don't feel like we're seeing him smoke baseballs as much as we have in the past. Like last year when he came back, he posted an 850 OPS, and we saw a lot of slugging from him at that point. Right now, we're not seeing a lot of slugging from him. Higgy, I don't really care about Higgy. He's a backup. We all know he's kind of trash. Cronenworth kind of came back down to earth. But again, I don't expect like a 9-something OPS. Yeah. Where's the expected slugging? Yeah. And what was it in 2023? Yeah. So it's a pretty massive, it's at least the expected slugging is a pretty massive difference. And then you got the barrel percentage, hard hit percentage is kind of around. Yeah, it's all going down. See, so that's what I'm saying when I think about Luis Camposano. The average is there. It's just I'm not happy with how the power really hasn't been there in the past few games and really almost all season. But the thing is, you know he has it. Other than that, man, yeah, again, I have nothing else to say. I think the Padres look all right now. I think they're in a good spot. It's really just the toughest stretch of the schedule, right? It's a really tough schedule starting really from the beginning of the season. You've had a tough stretch and it's going to continue up until maybe the end of May. I don't really know. I haven't looked too deep into the schedule yet. I know it cools down in June and I know in August it's kind of light also, but other than that, you're playing rough stretches of teams and you're hoping to come out. Again, I still think this is an 85 win team. And that's really all you need to get into the playoffs.
I think you need 88. Just because, dude, baseball, it's in a really good place. Like, there are a lot of good teams. Yeah, sure, there are still a lot. Like, there's still some few really bad teams, but a lot of the teams that were bad are up and coming. And, like, baseball is in a really good place where a lot of teams have a lot of good players. It's really well balanced. Even the Dodgers, even though they have one of the best lineups in baseball and, like, they're – rotation and everything is stacked, they're still having trouble winning some games because, you know, you have the Braves, you have the Phillies, you have, you know, the Mets are on and off, but you have, you know, the Brewers are on a hot stretch. The Cubs are still hanging in there and pretty good despite Justin Steele going out. The Diamondbacks are good. The Giants are good. Like, the NL is in a good spot. The AL has always been a doghouse between a lot of – it's been a powerhouse for a lot of – good teams. I mean, this year baseball is not going to be easy. Yeah, you're gonna have to beat up on the teams that are not good, and just pray to God that you play the teams that you play that are going to be around 500, if not above. You're going to have to play them to your best. It's going to be one of those things where, like I said earlier, you can't play to the level of your competition. It's going to be one of those things where, hey, we're going to see whether or not we got the depth to hang in there with the big teams. Yeah, this trade is going to – it provided us depth. Is that depth going to win us games? You know, hey, we got a couple minor league guys. Paulie's going to – we got to see Paulie actually become something. Yeah, maybe he goes down and gets some reps in, and hopefully he comes back later in the year and gets – you know, becomes a decent bat. Eggie's going to need to be a good platoon bat against left-handed pitching. We need a DH. Like, we're going to need a little more depth if we want to actually continue to win games and go into the make playoffs and go into a deep playoff run. Like, yeah, if we can't find it on the free agent market, which I still think you can sign Brandon Belt for cheap and hope that works, and if it doesn't, you can adjust at the trade deadline rather than at the trade deadline go for something last minute. And, you know, guys that don't succeed, they always come to the Padres because Padres don't have great hitting coaches, and anytime there's a trade, they suck when they come to the Padres outside of, like, one guy.
Yeah, man. I think that's really what's going to be the kind of what depends, like, the season depends on. It's just kind of like, all right, and we've already seen some of the positives in that, like, Jackson Merrill, for instance. In terms of standings right now, it's super early. It doesn't really matter, but you got the Mets and the Reds currently sitting right above the Padres and tied for that third wild card spot. The Cubs, the Phillies, I thought the Phillies were going to be there. The Brewers have looked really good. So yeah, like you're going to be battling out with pretty much, I would guess, like Diamondbacks, Reds, Mets, Cubs, Brewers. Like, those are the teams that you're kind of looking at, which honestly sucks for all these teams. Cause, like, yeah, I get the Brewers winning the regular season, but there is not an easier team to bank on getting knocked out in the first round than the Brewers. Like, they're just a waste of a playoff spot. Yeah. Maybe that's, like, stupid to say, but I'm sorry, bro. Every single year they make the playoffs and they have no chance. It's a really weird thing. They do, right? Like, you feel like that?
No, yeah, they don't. Outside of the years where Yelly was insane, they do jack in the playoffs.
It's just like, oh, like, if there's any team in the playoffs to match up against in the first round, it's the Brewers every single time. Like, they almost
I'm gonna interrupt y'all. I swear to God, if there's a Brewers fan that clips this for later in the year, I'm not a part of this conversation.
Dude, I'm fine, bro. We'll see it in October when they go up in the first round and get beat first two games.
Yeah. Brewers have been pretty ass when it comes to the playoffs. And then it was like one of those things where they also got matched up against with like the best NL team each year because they were that last playoff spot. It was like, cool. They had the three-headed monster and Peralta, Corbin Burns, and Brandon Woodruff. Oh, they faced the Dodgers.
The Dodgers, yep.
That's fair. It just feels like it because it's like, you know, they're in the playoffs. They're like almost like a shoe-in to make the playoffs. And then it's like, oh, what happened? Oh, bounced immediately. Like, I remember watching this like last year in the playoffs, and it was like they were bringing up like when they were going to lose because it's the Diamondbacks, right?
Pretty sure it was the Diamondbacks, yeah.
And it was just like, oh, they like it was showing like the last like since like 2008 or whatever the year was. And it was like they've made the playoffs like all these times and they just like don't win. And it was just like, wow. It was kind of like remarkable, like how good they were at getting bounced right away in the playoffs. It was crazy. But final thing that you kind of said, Isaac, and you had kind of mentioned it, and I've seen some people talking about, I think they'll give, this is what John says, I think they'll give Waldron two or three more starts. And he comes back and he says Vasquez is auditioning for the fifth spot. I think that's the same thing for Brito. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the biggest thing that we're kind of watching for right now, you know, pitching wise. Like, we know that in terms of like competition, right? So I think it's interesting to see. It's like, we're going to see who ends up becoming the fifth guy, who's the first guy to start. You brought up Nabil Crismat for Matt Waldron. I like it, like, in terms of the role, because, dude, people, like, everyone loved. It was weird because everyone like loved Nabil Crismat. So it was like, it wasn't like he was slept on, but his role was important, man.
It was
like,
a good role. Yeah.
And in, it was 21 and 22. In 21, he had just a sub 4 ERA. And then I think he had like mid 2 ERA in 22, but he was going in there and he would come out and pitch like four innings when they would be like getting blown out or whatever. And in some of those games, like when they were winning games, like in 22 and when they were winning in 21, a lot of times he would come in, he pitched like two or three innings, and they would come back because he would pitch well. Like that mattered. And we're seeing that kind of comeback, like almost mentality from this team. So I think it's important. I think that that is an interesting role where he could come in. And then, you know, sometimes you have him up against righties and stuff like that. So I agree with you, man. I think that's kind of a, it's not like a comp for him, like as a pitcher, but it's a comp for him, like in the role. It's a great role that he could have. And that'd be awesome. That'd be great if he could come in and do that. And like I said, I don't think he's been like bad or anything, but I think you're right, man. Like you traded Juan Soto. And you got two guys now on the MLB roster that have kind of needed some work and stuff. But if they continue to improve, it's like, what are we doing if they're not starting? What are we doing? Like, they got to be the guys. So I think it's going to be cool to see kind of how the next couple weeks go, because that's what's going to determine that. And whenever Yu Darvish comes back, we're going to hopefully have an answer for that kind of stuff. So I'm with you there. But Chase, Isaac, anything else you guys want to bring up? I feel like we kind of touched on most of it. We'll probably do some individual stuff on some guys in the future here, but I feel like that's kind of a decent week recap, you know, of like what's gone out. Yeah. It's been up and down. It's been, you saw some good stuff. You saw some like, oh God. And you saw them win today. So you feel a little bit better, but anything that I'm missing on or that we're missing on?
No, I mean, I'll go back to Matt Waldron real quick. Like, I think it's a great role for him. I also think it just gives him more leeway to throw his knuckleball as much as he wants. That's what I really want to see, right? You want to see him throw that pitch because it's so rare right now and not a lot of people see it. You want to see him go out there and, you know, give you two or three innings and throw that knuckleball more than he is right now. Other than that, though, no, I got nothing else to say. Happy with the Padres right now. I know it's 12-12. I know maybe I'm talking them up more than their record shows, but I mean, they're playing good teams. They're playing all right. They're playing pretty solid baseball. There's games that they should have won, but there's also games that they should have lost and ended up winning. So happy with the fight that I've seen from them. I'm happy with what I've seen from Jackson Merrill. I didn't think he was going to be ready, and he comes up. He hits above 300. He plays great defense in the outfield. He shows speed on the base paths. I'm very happy with the energy he's bringing to the Padres right now. Yeah, I'm happy with where they at for sure.
I don't got anything else to say. I've been sitting in front of this target for like 20 minutes now, just waiting for this to end. Go Padres! Really happy with where they're at. Let's see if they can do it. Let's see if they got all the pieces that they needed to.
All right, y'all. We'll talk to you later. Have a great rest of your weekend. Great Sunday night, and we'll talk to y'all soon. See ya.